Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Roland.
Hello, Freedom Neem.
What's up, Michael Fiend? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, DJ, the third fiend and the fiend behind the scene. Come say hi.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
You're doing. She's
hello.
Doing her.
Please
her
leave
Jane
a message.
That's her Jane from Daria voice. Hello. Hello. I wanted to call her the fiend behind the scenes, but she wants to be the fiend behind the scene for some reason. So that's what she is on the bio.
No, I think she's right. I like that better.
Yep. I've been doing a lot of work on the podcast. I updated the bios, updated the glossary, added that whole how we record the best sounding podcast in the world, and a few other things.
Great. I do love that page. And it was fun for me taking the pictures. And I know what I did was I took the pictures and I emailed you my little comments on them, and you sort of put it all together into this grand piece of the page. And I really dig it. I liked to look at that and see from your end, because, I mean, I've heard bits and pieces of how you do your editing magic, but I hadn't taken a look at what programs you use or exactly how it all comes together. But
and that kind of writing is, I can do it in my sleep. It's like what I do for a living. You know, all the books I've written, except for the novels, all the books I've written are like, have hundreds of pages of screenshots and descriptions that are, you know, descriptions of technical processes, but with a little bit of life in them too.
Yeah. Well, and I think people go to websites for that a lot. I mean, I know my wife, I mean, that's half of how she cooks is she looks at recipes and it'll have, you know, a picture along each step of the way and a description, or when she looks at how to sew something and things like that, and lifestyle blogs about how things are working. That's how people like to view things on the web these days.
Which makes sense. Although I think somebody's taken a little too far. There's some company that just came out with an oven that has a built-in web browser. I'm like, okay, that's really...
You know, I actually really like that idea. I think that's a good idea. You don't?
But it's having problems because the processor keeps burning out from the heat. It's a countertop cooking stove that sits on your counter, and it's like, you know, the computer keeps dying on them.
Right, and I could see it kind of being a unitasker. I mean, why have a computer you can only use when you cook because it's attached to your stove?
It's like those portable DVD players that are like $400, when for $500 you can buy a computer that plays DVDs.
Right, right. Do they still sell them? I mean, I think I've seen some in the bargain bin at Costco for $100 or something, but yeah, that was three or 4 years ago.
For people that don't know how to use computers.
Those people still exist?
Yeah.
In Wyoming, I remember when I was reporting in Wyoming and there were people without email addresses, or I'd say, you know, just email me your story idea. Yeah, I'll take a look. Oh, I don't do email.
Yeah.
So
I'll send it on the fax trolla. But, well, you know, I mean, I think that's how people learn now. And it should replace school, the internet. Like, you want to cook, you want to sew, you want to configure Linux, you want to know why your cat has a crazy cat spot, you look it up on the internet. Which leads me to a topical news piece today was SAT scores lowest ever. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Lowest ever in the history of the SAT?
Yeah, and I'm sure... That part in our movie will come true where Congress will rush back and give them even more money, and the vote will be, it probably won't be 434 yays to one nay. There'll probably be five or six nays in there now. But
Maybe. Yeah, because it is election season and Republicans are trying to grandstand is one thing. The other thing that they could do instead of that is, I mean, I could see somebody pulling some strings and changing sort of the standards for the test.
To make anybody be able to pass. Oh, I've got a tyranny today. It's f***ing great.
Yeah, let's hear
it. I saw today on Fox News someone from FEMA defending FEMA. You know, there's a satellite that's supposed to crash into the Earth and burn up on Friday.
Huh, no, I didn't know that. In the atmosphere, yeah, I mean, have they targeted like the trajectory to where it's
they
supposed to be in the
ocean? They don't know yet. They don't know when it's going to burn up. So it could be anywhere on Earth, and FEMA is rushing to do damage control. And this guy was saying, well, You know, people have been asking me what they can do to protect themselves from this, and I tell you, you don't really need a titanium helmet. All you need is a tinfoil helmet. That's what I'm going to be wearing, or a tinfoil hat. You know, basically saying, if you're worried about this, you're crazy. And then he went on to say, 75% of the earth is covered with water, and most of the land is uninhabited, which is true. So the chances are slim, and nobody's ever been hit with a big chunk of a satellite. A lot of them have burned up in the atmosphere.
Right.
But, and then he said, if it does come and land and burn up, you know, with a chunk of metal hitting the earth near an inhabited area, you'll get a great light show. Like they're saying, we're providing you this service.
Whose satellite is this? Is this a United States government satellite or...
Yeah. And then he repeated the part about the tinfoil hat and joked about it. Like, oh, that's so crazy that you'd even worry about it. We've got it covered, even though we don't know when or where it's going to land.
See, that's really strange. This was a FEMA official. I would imagine he would be trying to scare people because they love people to be scared, especially when it comes to hurricanes. You know, they want to be the big bad protector.
I think they love people to be scared when there's nothing to be scared of. But I think in this situation, there is something to be scared of. So they're underplaying it. I think they do everything bizarro world.
I can see that, yeah.
So you know what the name of this cast is?
I don't know, but usually we bandy it about and then you go and change it before you post it.
No, I've got it. I know. There's so many casts where in the cast I say the name of this cast is, and you look on the cast and it's something else. But
yeah, no, it's great.
This one is called Take a Hippie Shooting.
Nice. I
took
that.
A hippie shooting yesterday. Our number one fan, or one of our favorite fans, Yison, stopped in on his way from South Dakota to see his girlfriend in Colorado and spent the day with me and hung out and had a really good time. And then he took a nap for 3 hours and then got back on the road. But in the afternoon, we went out to our secret place and shot some guns. And he's not really a hippie. He's kind of a hippie. And he doesn't mind me calling him a hippie. He calls himself that. He looks like a hippie. He has dreadlocks. And
Yeah.
You know, he's like 23 and he's really cute. Like, I always think that young, cute people with dreadlocks, there should be like action figures and lunchboxes of them. I always thought that about that band White Zombie, that there should be plush toys of them. But Yison, he's got a gun, but he's not really a gun guy. He's got like great grandpa's 150-year-old shotgun, and he's never really shot a sidearm before. And I took him out and showed him gun safety and Glock, you know, let him shoot the Glock and let him shoot the Mosin and gave him some tips on trigger control. And I'm actually a better teacher than I am a shot. I'm a good shot, but...
Did you guys shoot the AK?
Yeah, shot the AK.
Nice.
And, you know, convinced him why he should carry a handgun and told him some different choices for it. And he's a really cool guy, and I wanted to say it was nice to hang out with him.
Did you shoot a little interview with it, or did you record an
interview with him? Yeah, I have a two-minute interview with him that I'm going to put at the end of the cast.
Okay, score.
And, you know, he doesn't believe in money. He doesn't like touching money. It gives him a bad feeling, so he's kind of a hippie.
Well, what do you mean? What kind of money? He doesn't believe
in... Yeah, he doesn't like holding money. Like, he does... He works, but he works for trade and barter with people. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I don't know. I kind of... When it comes to money, I think money is one of the best advancements for human society.
Not
fiat money, not American fiat money. But the thing with just bartering is you don't always have something that somebody else wants. If somebody has...
Yeah, you can't trade three chickens for... For a tank of gas. You know?
If we had to rely on just direct trade alone, then nobody would have the things they need.
Yep.
You have but to he's have an
interesting,
intermediary.
He's an interesting cat, and I went out shooting with him. And I just want to put it out there that I think it's good to take people shooting.
You know,
especially people that might even not have guns. You know, make sure they're safe. Teach them gun safety. But I think a lot of people have unnatural fears of guns that have been put into them by the media and by school and by other people. And I think that the more people who've actually shot a gun, whether or not they pursue it and get good with it, I think that the harder it's going to be to take them away. Because they won't buy the lie of, oh, they're evil and they're like snakes that'll jump up and kill you. You know?
Right. It breaks them of their brainwashing completely.
Which he didn't have any brainwashing. I mean, he owns a gun, but it was like, I was kind of getting him into the importance of rifles and talking about the importance of handguns, you know, not just having grandpa's shotgun in the closet.
Right. Because you can't carry grandpa's shotgun around with you anywhere. I mean, I guess you could, but it'd be a lot more difficult.
And grandpa's shotgun isn't going to stop the North Koreans at 700 yards when they march down your street and you're yelling Wolverines.
I don't know if the AK could stop them at 700 yards either. The Mosin probably.
The Mosin could.
Yeah, the Mosin could, if you're good with it.
Yeah. Well, the AK could stop him at 400 yards, and a shotgun at 400 yards, first of all, the shot would fall so many feet, you'd have to shoot it in the air to hit anything with it, and a leather jacket would stop a shotgun at 400 yards.
Well, I don't even think any of the pellets would go that far. I mean, I guess one or two would, but they'd be so spread out.
People hunt deer with shotguns, and with shot, you know, as opposed to rifled slugs, which you can shoot out to about 150 yards, people don't shoot deer with shotguns at more than about 75 or 80 yards.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd feel right shooting a deer with a shotgun. I kind of feel like you gotta shoot him with a rifle and have a clean kill shot. I think the shotgun is kind of, I don't know if I want to say cruel, but it just seems kind of...
Well, at 20 yards, it's fine. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like bow hunting. You can't bow hunt at 200 yards.
Right, right. But then again, I mean, doesn't that ruin a lot of the meat?
Yeah, but a lot of people do hunt deer with rifled slugs, which basically is kind of blurring the line between a rifle and a shotgun.
Right, right. I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. So we got t-shirts now.
Yeah, yeah, on Cafe Press.
Yep, and you can go to the Freedom Fiend site. There's a link at the top that says merchandise, and we have Compliacin t-shirts, Cat Muff t-shirts, Freedom Fiends t-shirts, and two different Guns and Weed t-shirts. One is the DVD cover, and the other is You and Me, and says there's no such thing as half free.
Nice, nice. My little brother actually has one of the Guns and Weed shirts. He wears it to work sometimes. And yeah, it was more than t-shirts and stuff too, because it's Cafe Press. There was a ton of merchandise
there's cups and all sorts of things. And you should not go buy one, Nima, because I'm not going to say that you might be getting something for Christmas, you and your wife. But
well, you just did. But, it sounds like.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, okay.
But everybody else should, and you know, mention us on. And review us on iTunes. Oh, we have a contest. You can win a digital camera.
Yeah, just pimp us, promote us, put us on your Facebook, hit the share button, put our podcast up, anything you want, and then just send us some kind of proof that you did it, and we'll put you in a drawing, and we'll randomly draw somebody, and they'll win a bunch of goodies. What do they win, Michael?
Well, tell them what they've won. Okay, here's the rules of the contest. Go and promote us somewhere, and it doesn't matter where, but promote us as much as you can. Twitter, Facebook, your blog, emailing to your friends, telling two friends, whatever, and then tell us about it. Either post it on the website on this cast, or email us, or send us a note on Facebook. It's only open to people in the U.S. because I really don't want to pay to ship something overseas. I guess I could open it up to people who aren't in the U.S. if they want to pay shipping. And it doesn't matter how many eyeballs you hit. Like, we're going to take the people and have a drawing of their names. So, you know, the guy that gets us 1,000 new listeners has the same chance as someone that gets us 2 new listeners. Kind of honor system of like, you know, I mean, if somebody tells me that they went and told 30 people at their Boy Scout meeting, I'm not going to know it, but I'm going to have to believe it. The contest goes through the 10th of next month. Through October 10th, we'll put all the names in a hat and draw one out. And here's what the winner gets. A Canon PowerShot camera. It's used and... It still works, but the viewfinder works, but the viewfinder digital display doesn't work.
Okay, so the screen...
And it takes several seconds to recycle to take the next picture. But it still works really well. You can take high-def pictures with it. I took some of the pictures that are in Guns and Weed with it, like the picture of the bison out in front of the Bighorn Mountains. So it's Hollywood memorabilia. You know, it's been used to make a movie, or it's Casper Wood memorabilia. And I'm also going to throw in a burned copy of the final cut of the movie, the final cut, which is, you know, basically the master of what's coming out.
Right. So you'll have it before it comes out.
Yeah. You'll have it 2 months before anybody else does. I'm going to throw in a data DVD of every Freedom Fiends episode in MP3. So you'll have them without having to go painstakingly download every one of them. And I'm going to throw in a copy of the Right Arm of Wyoming CD, which I only have like 7 copies of left. So win a digital camera and a Freedomista media pack.
Yeah.
And I'll also include with the camera 2 batteries and the USB cable to upload it to your computer.
Score. Sounds like a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So spread the love. And there's also a new page on the site called Spread the Love, which has cut and paste things for Twitter and Facebook and website and email and banners. And then there's code if you want to syndicate us on your website. You know, it'll refresh every time we put a new episode up. So that'll help people promote.
It's a beautiful thing, Freedom Fiends is. And freedom is in general. And that's why we're fiends for it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Did you know that the Patriot Act has been used 1,618 times for drugs, but only 15 times for terrorism?
I saw that stat, yeah, and it did not surprise me in the least. You know what did surprise me was the 15 times for terrorism, and I still don't know if I believe it, because it was probably one of those agent provocateur things where the FBI agents come in and try to get some poor Muslims who are fresh off the boat to do something they don't want to do, and then give them a bomb, and then try to force them into using it. So, theoretically, I guess those 15 times could have been legitimate, but it surprises me not at all that this is just a tool that law enforcement had been wanting to have for ages. And then, you know, like Rahm Emanuel says, they didn't let a crisis go to waste. And they, I mean, it was already written after, you know, before 9/11. It was already there, ready to go, and rubber stamped it. And all these law enforcement agents got all the goodies they wanted, all the free passes and the warrantless searches that they wanted. And it's a tragedy, and I think a lot of people realize that now. Not enough, obviously. So
a lot of legislation is written months or years before it's brought up. When we're talking about sweeping gun control as opposed to incremental gun control last week, one I forgot to mention, which I can't believe I forgot, was the Clinton scary black rifle ban, or the Clinton assault weapons ban in 94, which sunsetted, thank goodness, in 2004.
Which is an interesting example, because usually you don't get a reprieve from tyranny.
I know.
And that's one of the few examples I can think of to where somehow we got more freedom. And I don't know, Michael, can you think of why that is? Did they decide to back off a little bit? Was it like they were pulling out for a little bit before they're going to go in and ram it home, or what?
It was written partially by the Brady campaign. You know, a lot of times laws are written by lobbyists and brought to their representatives. And
of course,
one was written partially by the Brady campaign, and it actually included wording, it and the one in, I think it was 1968 or 66, the one that outlawed new manufacture of
machine guns,
automatics.
Right.
Both of those included language that was from the Nazi Germany gun ban that included language of like sporting purpose, like a gun had to have a sporting purpose, which is interesting because it's very contradictory. Some gun control is based on it has to have a sporting purpose, and there has been other gun control that's been based on it not having a military purpose, like the ban on sawed-off shotguns.
Okay. Well, I also find it very telling how vague all those things are, and who gets to define. I mean, when you write a piece of legislation that says sporting purpose, you leave it up to the bureaucrats to decide what that ends up meaning. And, you know, basically ATF gets to decide what's sporting and what's not.
And I would say that any gun has a sporting purpose. I mean, I think they're talking about shooting pheasants with it, but there's a 50 caliber shooter's club.
Right, and you shoot on a 1,000-yard range, and that's the sport, is its target
and that's
shooting.
The sport.
And
yeah.
Any gun can be a sporting gun if you use it for a target shooting.
And I would say the fact that in Casper they have an annual charity full auto shoot.
Yes,
would make full autos. That's a sport, you know? People are getting together to do it. And
you know, I never went to that, and I really do regret that from my time in Wyoming. I wish I would have gone to that, because they let you shoot fully auto with tracers, and I heard there's guys there that have their own tanks.
Yeah, and there's cannons too. It's a machine gun and cannon shoot, and it's for charity, for like toys for kids or something. I like the idea of it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful idea. I guess you've never went either, huh?
No, I never have the money. I'm always just skint for money that week, and it's, you know, to have fun shooting full auto, you got to bring a couple $100 because, you know, an AK-47 shoots a 30-round mag, which is like $6 or $7 worth of ammo in one and a half seconds.
Right.
So
I think they let the news girls that end up going out there shoot for free.
Of course they do. Yeah, the news here is really, it's not what it used to be. You're gone. You were the best thing there, and Jadion's gone, and she was great.
Yeah.
And the other blonde is gone. What's her name?
Lindsay? Where'd she go?
Well, no. The other blonde.
Denise Pernula?
Yeah. She's gone.
Yeah.
Although her billboard was up for like 4 months after she was gone.
Yeah, I think she went back to Vegas, and more power to her. I know that's where she wanted to be. And
cool.
These days, I don't know if there's much of a point being in local TV news anymore. So
I know.
Good for her.
Speaking of Nazi Germany, or of Germany, I have a correction from last week's cast. I said the Weimar Republic. It's pronounced Weimar.
Yeah, I've heard it pronounced Weimar, and I'm sure that's the correct pronunciation. But I've also heard people who I believe to be reputable call it Weimar, and I don't know if that's just a – it's probably just an anglification of it. And
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I can see using the in the English way. I mean, we don't say Mexico or Texas. We say Mexico and Texas. So, but if we want to be accurate, I guess it's Weimar Republic. But,
so we're going to talk about the war on birds.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that.
I know. You asked me during the break, what's the war on birds? And I'm like, no, we'll just do it. I like getting your reaction.
You know? I don't even know if you put put it in the notes. You're trying to catch me unawares here.
I always send you the notes on Monday, and then I just keep thinking of stuff and add it.
Yeah.
The war on birds, you know, we have this ongoing thing about cats and birds and nature and our pets and just talking about them because we like them, but also as an analogy for the world. Oh, by the way, I found out what causes the crazy cat spot. Did you see that comment?
I did see that comment. Did you fact check that? I mean, it seemed to make sense. And when I told it to my wife,
I don't need to fact check that. We're not that kind of podcast.
Sure.
Somebody said that the reason cats have a crazy cat spot is so the mother cat can lick them or nudge them there and get them to nurse.
Yeah, yeah. When I told that to my wife, she said, yeah, that makes sense. I think I've seen cats doing that. You know,
it does.
Cats.
But it also it doesn't make sense why adult cats still have it and why not all cats have it. You'd think the cats that don't have it would have starved to death.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. But also, I can see why adult cats still have it. I mean, you'll notice cats that sometimes aren't weaned properly, they do a lot of the kneading, you know, where they'll put their paws on a pillow
so cute.
Or something soft. My mom calls it making muffins.
Yeah.
And so you'll see a lot of cats do that.
Yep. So the war on birds, I've been doing this ongoing, endless home improvement stuff lately, especially before it snows.
Right, right. Taking care of the nest.
I've been waterproofing our fence because the fence is really important to me because it keeps the world out. We have this, 6.5 foot high wooden fence. So we got like 30 gallons of this stuff and it was, like $200 for 30 gallons of it. And it's clear varnish that you paint on the fence and it waterproofs it. But you have to wash the fence first and then dry it. So it was pretty easy to do on the inside of the fence. But when I went to do the outside of the fence, it was covered with bird poo over on the side where we have our bird feeder in the back.
Yeah.
And so I had to take the bird feeder down for like a week so they'd stop pooing back there. And then I had to power wash it off and then get up with a wire brush and scrub it. And then the same day I discovered that overhang over our driveway that has a rain spout in it. I reached up under the rain spout and there were like 10 birds' nests in there the whole length of it.
Oh, wow.
It's like a bird condo because we've seen birds flying in and out of there.
They had their own high rise.
And I talked to my neighbor about it and he's like, oh, the lady that lived there before the guy that you bought it from like 10 years ago had that problem too. And he used to just stuff rags in there. But I tried to drill holes in the bottom of it so it would at least let some water out, which would help us and the birds. And I couldn't because it was like an inch of steel. So it's just the war on birds. And basically what it comes down to, it's kind of like America's foreign aid policy. Like we're feeding all these beasts and then that makes them poo everywhere. And then we have to deal with the poo and then we have to try to contain them and control their life.
Yeah, yeah. When in reality, we should just let them be like free, like birds.
They'd probably still crap and build nests, but...
Well, they wouldn't be doing it here or with anything regarding our interest. I mean, you got rid of the bird feeder and the birds stopped shitting on your fence, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And I guess... So are you going to try to get the birds out of this thing? It seems to me like
an easy
solution if they somehow got out. Like maybe they'll leave for the winter. You could put some wire mesh on either
I thought
side
about it, but it's like... It's really not hurting anything.
Yeah.
You know, water just comes over the side instead of coming down through the pipe. It's all right.
Fair enough.
Icicles. They're pretty.
They are.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of cats, you were making a passionate argument last week for not fixing cats. DJ says that fixing cats extends their lifespan. So in some ways, it gives them more freedom and more rights.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really making a passionate argument against it. I was just trying to point out an inconsistency. And also with the... It's for your own good thing. I mean, the government would probably say a lot of the things they do makes people's lives longer. I would say they're wrong, but even still, I would say that freedom is more important than security or in some way safety. Although that brings up another hornet's nest of, who owns the cats? I guess if the cats are your pet, then you own them. And if you don't want him to have balls, I guess that's your deal.
Yeah.
That's still one I've been trying to wrap my head around, and I don't really – that's why I don't say I'm really advocating for people to not fix their animals. I just haven't been able to square that up in my head, the inconsistency there with wanting to treat animals like human beings, have them have, you know, rights, especially pets and cats and dogs. But you would never neuter a friend of yours or your kid. You wouldn't neuter your kid.
I neutered me. I had a vasectomy about 12 years ago.
That's different, though. I mean, that's reversible, first of all. And
barely. It doesn't... I'm never going to reverse it, though.
Yeah, yeah. But you still, if you could. I mean, if
you know, I remember in Texas about 15 years ago when I was going through there, there were billboards everywhere for vasectomy reversal. Is that...
Yeah. I've seen
why
that.
Why is
yeah.
that so popular in Texas?
I don't know. I guess people get married a lot in Texas and divorced a lot in Texas, and one wife wants them to be vasectomized, and then they get divorced, huh. And the new wife wants kids. That's a shot in the dark. I have no idea, but I have seen that in Houston and in Austin. Lots of billboards for vasectomy reversal, so I can second that.
So are you doing the Agora IO Unconference this weekend?
No, I'm not. When is it? On Saturday? Saturday and yeah. Sunday?
Yeah.
It's, no, I am not. I heard you are, and Stefan Molyneux is, and probably a whole host
and
of
Mama
other-
Liberty and a whole bunch of other people. Yep. I'm speaking, I'll link it. I'm speaking Saturday, September 24th for an hour doing a video conference, and people can, if they have Facebook, they can type in questions. My speech is called "I Remember When Sex Was Safe and Music Was Dangerous."
Nice, nice. It is one of your catchphrases. I remember you.
Yeah, which he couldn't fit on the thing. He had to put it, leave one letter out. So it's called on there. It's called "Remember When Sex Was Safe and Music Was Dangerous."
It's a command. I order you command. To remember it.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners can't remember.
I don't remember that. I mean, AIDS was already full blown when I was coming of age. So
I had a good 8 or 10 years of sex where AIDS didn't exist. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yep. I think I could see the child during that time.
So go ahead and explain your phrase then. What do you mean by that?
Conceived a child? It's pretty straightforward.
No, by the title of your speech.
Oh, I remember when sex was safe and music was dangerous. I guess it's saying that I'm old and have wisdom, and it's kind of making fun of the music of today, because I think a lot of music is really safe. Although I think you and I are bringing danger back to music. I know that my music was called terrorist rock on that lefty site Democratic Underground, and they said they turned me into the feds for it. So, you know, that's pretty dangerous.
Wait, they said they would or they did?
They said they did.
That's great. That's great. Well, my stage name used to be the Lyrical Terrorist.
Yeah, I think I talked you out of that. I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you also talked me out of my theoretical record label was Dirty Bomb Entertainment, and you pointed out the inconsistency. Of course, those were jabs.
Those were for the purpose of not getting droned. I think I also talked you out of another one because it was just a lot of other people had used it. DJ Subsonic.
Ah, well, I still go by that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think there's only about five of you.
Is there? Fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're dangerous, and I'm going to be talking about, I don't know, it's not going to just be talking about the good old days. It's going to be a jumping off point, and yeah, it'll be good. So tune in Saturday on the agora.io site, and you can go to it. You have to be on, I think you have to be on justin.tv which is to view it, or at least we do to talk on it. So we got some good shout-outs from people. This week, we got a lot of responses from the last podcast. It's getting more popular than ever. Someone named Tono Rondone, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, said, "So far, everything I've read, listened to, and watched from these individuals has been a real breath of fresh air in this otherwise stagnant backwater of civilization."
Yeah, yeah. Tono's a cool guy. I actually checked out his website the other night because he had messaged me saying he was watching Guns and Weed and thought it was awesome. So I checked out his website, and I dig his stuff too. And he, I guess, was in some bands in the 80s and did his own solo project. And so yep. I checked
he
out
tried out for Dead Kennedys, which is pretty cool.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's dope.
Didn't make it, but you know, a lot of people tried out and didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yep. I tried out for East Bay Ray's band after Dead Kennedys and didn't make it. Somewhere I have a couple MP3s of music I did with him. This is a good description of us on something called Citizen Kane in a Strange Land. and we're on their blog roll, but they said on their blog roll, it says, Freedom Fiends, the right arm of Wyoming, Michael Dean and Nima Vedati, filmmakers of Guns and Weed, host a weekly podcast that talks about freedom issues, libertarianism, and clean living.
I don't understand the clean living. I guess if you, by clean, okay. Well, maybe if by clean he means nonviolent or peaceful, then I could see that.
Maybe. But, you know, whenever I've heard anyone say clean living, you know, I've heard, like, old people, when they're asked, how did you live to be 98? Clean living.
Yeah, and they probably mean not drinking or ever being intoxicated and not gambling and never watching porn and advocating for porn to be illegal and loving Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry and Mitt Romney.
I told you about my dad's friend. When he was younger, there was an older guy in his town that worked as a dynamite blaster by trade, and he lived to be 100, and the newspaper came and interviewed him, and they said, how'd you live to be 100? And he said, by never messing with nothing dangerous, especially women.
But his whole life he was a dynamite explosives kind of guy, huh?
Yep.
That's awesome.
That's funny. And we got another review on iTunes. It says, this is from Voluntarist RJ. I'm always pleased to find a new cast from the Freedom Fiends. It's like when you were a kid and you got snail mail, you were so excited. But it's even better because it's always entertaining and informative freedom message, and it's not delivered by the United States Post Office. Hats off to Lysander Spooner.
Word. We got to give shouts out to Spooner.
Yep. And yes. Then that leads into some post office tyranny today. DJ.
And now, the Nima News with Nima Vedati.
And now for your daily dose of nanny statism in our daily segment, Tyranny Today.
Tyranny Today.
DJ told me that recently for her law firm, she had to send something to a law firm in Los Angeles, and the firm there had moved in the same building on the same floor but across the hall, and the post office fucking returned it.
Wow.
Like, you know, we're going to make you pay for this twice and send it back. Because our guy didn't want to walk across the hall.
Yeah. My wife had a similar situation. They didn't even deliver the package. She had this whole package she did for her mom, a care package, because it was her mom's birthday, sent it, and her mom never got it. And she called the people, and they were like, well, what you have to do is tell your mom to go to the post office and see if it's there, because that's probably where it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we paid $15 so you could deliver it to your door. That's the service you're supposed to be providing. What if she was an invalid? What if she can't go to the post office, which she really can't because it's only open during normal business hours and her mom works 9 to 5 Monday.
The post office makes us all invalids with their hours.
Pretty much. And the thing is, who do you call and complain? It's not like you can call the manager and they'll comp your ticket. That's not how the government agencies work. You can file a complaint, but you're never going to hear anything back. And if you do, it'll be 3 years later once they finally get to it.
And yet people wonder why it's going under. And the post office may default on a $5.5 billion trust fund payment. And the thing is, everyone says, oh, well, don't complain about the post office because it's not backed by taxpayers. It's an independent corporation. It is an independent corporation. Taxpayers don't pay for it, but taxpayers back the default. You know,
exactly.
When they end up owing money, we pay it.
Right. And not only that, but if it were an independent corporation, it'd be out of business 50 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever. I mean, look at how they pay their employees. Their employees are all unionized under contract. There's all sorts of stipulations and, you know, they get paid, what, like double what I get paid? They get fat pensions and it's just ridiculous. It's basically a jobs program. And also, if the post office were a real corporation, they wouldn't have a system where you could mail something across the street or mail something to LA or New York for the same price. How much sense does that make that one first class stamp will get you the same service? It'll be the same price for completely different services. There's no way that it's not backstopped by the government.
Did you see John Stewart's kind of libertarian response to all that?
No, I wish I would have. What'd he say?
I'll link it. It was really funny. He was showing this congresswoman, this Democrat congresswoman, talking about, you know, they're talking about cutting down the post office to like 4 days a week and or mail delivery to 4 days a week. And there was some...
Was it 4 days or were they just trying to get rid of Saturdays? I think it
was. Whatever it was. But there was some congresswoman in Congress talking about, you know, I really value letters and I have a box of letters from my grandmother, and that just doesn't exist anymore. And I think that we need to, maybe have we tried having an advertising campaign to remind people of the sentimental value of letters? And John Stewart interrupted her and said, so after 20 years of advanced electronic communication getting better and better and better, your response is take taxpayer money and have an ad campaign to convince people to go backwards. And then she was like, I think her name's Christine O'Donnell or something O'Donnell, something Irish name. And it wasn't Christine O'Donnell, but it was some other lady. And she said, you know, my children write me from college and they send me these texts and I don't even understand them. They're like, need money to number 2 day, PLZ, SND, NOW. And I don't even send them money unless they send me a written letter with a postage stamp on it. And John Stewart said, well done, Irish lady. There are a million Jewish mothers in America applauding you right now. You just entered into the congressional record that your children don't write you enough.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, Stewart is still spot on a few times a week at least.
Yep.
Score.
So on the Catmuff video, which has almost 2,000 views now, someone who liked it posted, made by anonymous patriots. The authorities know who you are and will be paying you a visit.
Apparently because some group already outed you to the feds.
That was like a year before I met you. That was like over 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're keeping an eye on you, Michael.
Speaking of holidays, my dad just turned 90, which is really cool. And he's, you know, 90 and lives alone and takes care of himself, which I think is amazing. Mm-hmm. So if I ever quit smoking and drinking so much coffee, I might live that long.
Speaking of smoking, and, I switched to the e-cigarettes, and I'm digging it.
Have you really?
I really have. I mean, by switch, I mean this is my second day, but I really do dig it.
It's, which just reminds me of near beer.
No, totally not. I mean, what do you want from cigarettes? You want nicotine.
Nicotine,
And this is nicotine. It's got as much nicotine as a cigarette does.
You know, I have this friend, Martin Lenoble. He played bass in Porno for Pyros and The Cult. He and I are recovering addicts, and that's how we knew each other. Actually, we knew each other before, and we got dirty together before we got clean together. He's now married to Christina Applegate, the girl from Married with Children.
No way.
Yeah, which is like everyone's dream between my age and your age. So
she's got her own sitcom now too with Will Arnett, the guy who used to do Arrested Development. My wife watched the pilot the other day. It was pretty decent.
Martin once said to me, you know, because a lot of people in recovery drink near beer, which I don't, just because I never liked the taste of beer. I only drank it for the alcohol. But he said about near beer, he said, first you drink near beer, next you're shooting almost heroin, and before you know it, you're smoking, I can't believe it's not cocaine.
That's great. But I really do dig the e-cigarettes. I mean, I'm still going to keep my pipes around because, I smoke a tobacco pipe.
I love that you smoke a pipe. I don't know anyone who smokes a pipe.
Well, I really liked it. You know, I wanted to stop smoking cigarettes. And so that was my idea, was to switch to pipe tobacco because I was smoking Black and Milds, which is kind of ghetto. But my Houston upbringing had me smoking Black and Milds for a little bit. And then I was like, well, this is pipe tobacco. Maybe I'll just go buy some actual pipe tobacco and have it be decent instead of this cheap crap. And then I got really into, the connoisseur stuff, going to tobaccoreviews.com and buying, the best 4-star tobaccos and English tobaccos and Penzance and anniversary cake and all the stuff that the snobs thought was great. And it was kind of like cigar smoking. It was a hobby. And I really did dig it. But lately I've just been smoking, the scrapings that they sweep off the floor and put in a pouch and sell you for $2 at the gas station. Because here in Washington, tobacco taxes are high. It's like $8 for the cheap pack of most pipe tobaccos, but I found one for $2. It's cheap, it's crap, but that's what I smoke, when I'm at work and I'm stressed. So I figured I'm not getting, the connoisseur delicious tobacco. I'm just doing it for the nicotine. So I decided, okay, I'll switch to the e-cigarettes and give them a try. And I have, and so far they're great. I get the nicotine, which is all I was doing it for when I was smoking the cheap tobacco. And I can still, when I decide to buy a fancy tobacco and smoke it in my pipe on my porch with my smoking jacket or whatever, but for now, I got the e-cigarette. I can smoke it in the edit bay at work and nobody notices. And I got one right now, you know, inside my bedroom with my wife here.
Since we do unpaid product placement of things we genuinely like, do you want to say what brand you're smoking?
I will. And actually, advertising led me to it. You know, I kept hearing about them on Free Talk Live, and it's Vaporsmiths is the brand. I checked them out because, you know, they had this coupon code that Free Talk Live gave them. Of course, they had the same coupon code on their website anyway, or one that did the same thing. So I do like it.
And I like that you smoke a pipe so much that I insisted we showed you doing it in the movie. You're doing it in that one, like, cheesy bump where you're pointing at the camera for the NEMA news.
Ah, yes. And not only that, but then we took that and put it on the fake pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, the cigarette pack where we show the thing about tax stamps. Right. Oh, you know, we missed talking about more about the crazy cat spot. The fact that mother cats do it to get their kittens to nurse adds even more to our crazy cat spot as an analogy for statism, because the mother cat is the state and it licks the baby kitten to stimulate its crazy cat spot to lick back and suckle the milk from the state.
Right. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want you to be worried about the safety and they want you to come to them for help. And so that's the crazy cat spot. They itch and they want you to go and think of the cops as being your protectors and think of the government as being your backstop for when your life falls apart. You can get all these social safety net type services and they're there to help you and keep you safe and keep society running. And they're going to itch you in the direction that if they weren't there, life would be horrible and it would be chaos and anarchy is a bad thing. And you need to have us wise overlords who are experts protecting you. I don't understand how people don't see that this is just the communist vanguard. This is the system of society where some people believe that they know more than you, and so you should listen to them and let them control you.
And anybody who thinks that socialism or tending towards socialism or tending towards communism is a good idea is really ignoring history, man.
Really?
Because it doesn't work. And I mean, it doesn't even work now. Like Venezuela, their president, Chavez, has cancer. He's going to fucking Cuba for his medical treatment. And Chavez, his country is more advanced tyrannical communism than Cuba. Cuba's starting to open up in some things that more resemble the free market.
Right.
And his country's so screwed up that their free healthcare, even for the president, isn't good enough and he has to go to Cuba.
Right, right. Well, also, I don't think Cuba would be where it's at today if we didn't have the embargo on them. If we treated Cuba like...
They'd be doing better.
Yeah, well, I don't think they'd still be communists. I don't think Castro would still be in power. And that's the thing. When we have sanctions and when we try to punish nations, they stick to their dictators and they don't understand what freedom is. The best way we can promote freedom is by example and by trading with people. Back in Iran, right after the revolution, everybody wanted the cool American stuff and they couldn't get it, you know. And if we would have just opened up and had trade ties with them and everybody was getting cool punk rock stuff, then, you know, I don't think we'd have to worry about there being this theocracy there anymore.
I read an article, I don't remember if it was in Reason or in Wired, but it was basically saying that what brought down the Iron Curtain way more than Reagan or way more than anything else
was punk rock.
Was rock and roll and blue jeans and yeah. Western influence.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because think of who drives revolutions. It's always young people. And young people always want the hippest stuff in the world.
Did I tell you about my friends from Czechoslovakia that live in San Francisco that had this band called Life After Life in San Francisco, signed to the Alternative Tentacles label, the Dead Kennedys label? They had that band in Prague, and they were like taken to the police station and beaten and thrown in prison for playing rock and roll.
Wow. Wow.
So do electric cigarettes cost more or less or the same? How much is the startup? How much is the thing?
Okay, so this specific one, which is Vaporsmiths, you can get the free starter kit. You got to spend like $69 it was. So I bought 40 cartomizers, they call them. And these are the little things that actually contain the nicotine solution, which I guess is a nicotine extracted from tobacco. And it's in this propylene glycol solution or something like that. And then the battery heats it up. The battery is the thing that actually looks like where the tobacco would be in a cigarette. The nicotine is actually the thing that looks like the filter. And so supposedly one of these cartomizer cartridges is supposed to be like a whole pack of cigarettes. So they say, you know, a pack a day smoker, each one of these cartomizers, I guess you buy a 5-pack of them for $10. So basically it's like 5 packs of cigarettes for $10. And then, you know, you buy the 40-pack, it's $69. So do the math. It's a bit cheaper and you get the starter kit for free. And I don't smoke you know, the equivalent of a pack a day. I smoke like a pouch of pipe tobacco a week. So I'm expecting these cartridges to maybe smoke two a week, if that.
And it's better for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the idea. I mean, with the new technology, it's kind of hard to tell really how much it's better for you. Of course, on the website, it claims it's 22,000 times better for you.
It'll extend your lifespan 100 years.
It's really hard to tell with new technology, but it's not smoke, which from what I understand, that's what's bad about.
Have you smoked them in public yet? Like in a restaurant?
Not in a restaurant. I've smoked them in the edit bay when I'm at work, which is sort of a private space.
I'm just curious that, like,
what are the reactions?
You know, you're supposed to be allowed to smoke in places that you can't smoke, but I'm curious if people would run over and think you're smoking anyway and tell you to put it out.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, there's two kinds. There's an automatic and a manual. One of them, you press a button, and it only draws.
An automatic and a semi-automatic?
Well, the automatic, it only draws when you suck on it. So it's not like there's vapor coming out in any way if it's not coming out into your mouth.
Right.
And there's no smell whatsoever, really. It's pretty much odorless. So, the smell is usually what tips people off in public. I've only been doing this a couple days now, so I haven't really had a chance to do it in public, but I guess we'll see. I remember there was a story about the FAA or somebody, some government agency was going to ban them either in airports or on airplanes. Can't really recall which one. So I guess theoretically there could be bans in the future.
There are places, especially in other countries, and they've tried to do this here in some places, that want to ban them because they think it's encouraging smoke. In, you know, they don't look at it as something that's going to help tobacco smokers quit, but something that they think people who don't smoke are just going to take up.
I really can see that. I mean, I didn't buy them with the intention of quitting using nicotine. I mean, I'm a fan of nicotine. I think nicotine is a decent stimulant, just like caffeine can be. It was just, you know, the traditional method of nicotine, either smoking tobacco in your lungs or, you know, smoking it in a pipe where you're trying to get the nicotine through your mouth or through your nose. You know, those are a bit unhealthier than I'd like. So this is an alternate delivery method. But I could see that. I could see people picking them up. I don't see why not.
Cigarettes really are dirty. I mean, when I clean ashtrays once a week, it's like gum. You know, it's
right,
like thick
right.
gum. And it does make everything in your house smell. And when people come in, they can tell you smoke. But
see, it is interesting, the banning angle, if governments are trying to do it. Because I notice they don't try to do that with Nicorette or patches. And
well, those used to be prescription only, and now they're not. But you have to be 18 to buy them.
And I know people who were, you know, chewers or dippers. You know, they like to dip. And they switched to Nicorette, which is really like having a dip in. I mean, because what you're supposed to do is you chew on the nicotine gum, and then you put it between your lip like you would a dip. And so I know somebody who's, you know, switched to Nicorette supposedly to quit, but they just buy Nicorette now. That's become their substitute, and they do it just as much as they would dip. And also here in Washington, they have tax subsidies for Nicorette. I've noticed it's way cheaper to buy Nicorette here than it was in Texas, and cigarettes are way more expensive.
We were talking about last week about constitutionalists who think that taxes are okay with money coming and going, but not when it's just sitting there and they're morally opposed to property taxes because of it.
Right.
I heard another interesting thing. It was some Texas congressman, Republican, was saying he wasn't opposed to taxes, but he was opposed to any tax that makes people want to do something less or do it more, which I can kind of see from a constitutional attitude. At least I can say this, I'm more pissed off at taxes that have a moral imperative behind them than just taking money. I don't like any of it, but like the taxes on cigarettes and liquor are outrageous.
Right, right.
And then there's subsidies, which are reverse taxes where they're paying people to do something or giving people a tax break on something. You know, the whole thing, like right now, Obama's trying to raise taxes on the ultra rich. He says we need it to pay for everything, but it's really bad timing because it's coming out that he funded this Solyndra. You know about Solyndra?
Right. It's something like, I don't know if it was subsidies. No, it was loan guarantees, wasn't it? For some
solar panel company that went under and was like 3 months before they went under was lying to Congress and saying, oh, we're doing great. We're turning a profit.
Right. Yeah, it's hard not to turn a profit when the government gives you $500 billion. But
yep.
I'm just saying, I totally get that point. I mean, because social engineering, that just, it disgusts me no matter what it is. And I could see being disgusted with that, but still for some reason thinking we need taxes for whatever your crazy cat response is for police or the military or whatever. But
in a voluntary minarchy, you know, an opt-in panarchy, voluntary minarchy, where a certain region agreed, okay, we're all going to pay 1 cent sales tax to pay to keep the water on and collect the garbage or whatever. I really doubt that in that system, people would voluntarily allow extreme taxes on things that people think are bad for you, or investing in ridiculous things that people don't need to, that the free market can take care of, like solar panels.
Well, in a system like that where the taxes had to be voluntary, which I don't know if that's an oxymoron or not, but you couldn't have something like that because you wouldn't have cigarette producers in that system agreeing to be taxed, and you wouldn't have smokers agreeing to be taxed.
And for a long time, cigarette tobacco growers were given subsidies. I don't know if they still are or not, but they were for a long time. They were given money to grow tobacco. And then people were overtaxed to buy tobacco.
Right, right. It's almost like you said in another cast about the government just being a dinosaur, being so big that it doesn't know it's eating its own tail sometimes.
And, you know, that might lead to being able to say time's up, and not in a revolutionary radical let's shoot way, but just in a time's up, this thing's tired, let's call it what it is.
I think we're well past that. I think now more than ever people are realizing it, but to me, time was up so many times in American history and in world history. I mean, time was up when Abraham Lincoln decided he could invade the South because they voluntarily did not want to be part of the Union anymore, a union they entered into voluntarily with the promise that they could leave.
Wasn't that the first executive order?
I don't know if it was the first executive order, but I know the world did change, and the whole state of the Union changed at that point. I don't know if it was the first executive order or not.
The time's up flags that we were talking about.
It turns out a friend of mine makes those. I think you put it in the notes. I don't know if we talked about it yet on the cast.
No, we talked about it last time. Oh. So we were talking about the Claire Wolf connection. But I found out a friend of mine makes those. I didn't know that. This guy, my friend Kent McManigle, makes them. I'll link on the site. So if people want to go buy a time's up, don't tread on me flag. He's a cool guy. He writes for the Examiner.
Explain what the flag is to people who might not have seen it or heard about it.
And he kind of looks like Free Will and Franklin from the Fabulous Free Freak Brothers comics for you old timers.
No idea what you just said.
You don't know what the Fabulous Free Freak Brothers are. It was a really revolutionary kind of hippie comic in the 60s.
Ah, okay.
There was about three drug users, revolutionaries, who all lived in an apartment together.
Okay.
And
I dig it.
They had this kind of Dan Banning cop that was always chasing him. And they were always outsmarting him. And at one point, they threatened to kidnap him and give him a jalapeno and LSD enema, I remember. Time's up. We talked about it last time.
Okay.
I'll just link it.
I know we talked about the Claire Wolf quote, but the flag basically is the don't tread on me flag, but the snake is snapping instead of just rattling.
And it says time's up.
And it says time's
instead
up.
Of don't tread on me. Right. I saw a really good variation recently. It was a black and white don't tread on me flag. It was, you know, white print on a black background, and it just said, don't. That was from Prob Producers, right?
I don't know who that was from, but I dig it.
No, I don't know where I saw it, but it just said, don't.
Don't. Don't even.
So we got a good nerd, story here. I added yet another bit of functionality. I'd call it functionality. Somebody else might call it dancing baloney to the website. There's a new little icon on there. It's an orange icon that says XSPF, and that's a shareable playlist format. It's pronounced spiff, and it works in VLC Player and a whole bunch of other programs. If you just click on it, you probably have something on your computer that'll just start playing it, and you can click through all the episodes on it.
Okay, sweet.
It's just another way to get it.
Some more product for all you fiends out there.
XSPF was created by an ad hoc working group, which kicked off February 2004, achieved a rough consensus on version 1 in April 2004, worked on implementations and fine-tuning throughout the summer and fall of 2004, and declared the tuned version to be version 1 January 2005. I like that it's an ad hoc working group that reached a rough consensus. It sounds like anarchy. There's no central planning.
Exactly. Hey.
What? What's your dog doing? What's Yukon doing?
He wants to go outside, but he hasn't gone outside all night. So
you're going to have to strap on your sidearm and walk him.
Yeah, I might have to. He's throwing a fit. I might have to kick him out for now until we're done casting.
Did you see that article, 6 weapons the police and military will be using against you?
Yeah, I did. I'd actually read about a few of those before, especially the pain ray, which I guess is something that shoots a beam at you that makes you feel really hot. Somehow it does something to your cells to make you feel intense heat and pain. I think they were
neat.
Wasn't it heat?
And I said, neat.
Oh, neat. Yeah. And I think they were testing it in prisons, from what I understood. I think it was in California, but I know they had tested it in some type of prison, supposedly on rioting prisoners. So,
or maybe they tried it and made them riot and then tried it on them.
Yeah, I don't know. The article didn't get into that. But that's the other thing that kind of strikes me as crazy is what they spend all this money they steal from you through taxes on. A lot of it is stuff they're going to use to hurt you in various ways.
And we've talked about non-lethal weapons being like the slave master's whip. You know, it's just a way to make you comply.
Yeah, and there were some other scary ones that have already been used. There was the high-pitched noise cannon that they had used on some block party students at a college.
Yeah,
and they used it on that.
We talked about that and linked the video before.
Right. They were not very friendly devices.
Festive.
And yeah. I think the point here is that the government takes your money and then spends it on weapons that you won't have and can't have and that they'll use to control you as, like you said, the slave master's whip.
Yep. So I have a Freedom Fiends tech tip for the day. We've been doing more of these lately. Because I bought a new digital camera, and that's why I have the old one to give away for the contest. You know, we should have a contest. Yison just chatted with me and ended up hanging out with me, but we should have a Hangout with the Fiends contest sometime.
Where we invite people over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know if we have any listeners in my area. They're probably all closer to your area. There's not a whole lot of freedom lovers here in Washington.
Well, you could take a hippie shooting.
Okay, I could do that. I would do that.
When you want to buy a digital camera, go on Amazon or Newegg or wherever and search models that are in your price range. And when you see ones you want to check out, go search the make and model of that camera on Flickr.com and you can find photos taken with that same model.
Which is really great because, you know, you want to see what kind of picture this thing's going to take before you buy it. I know in the movie you looked up on YouTube the video camera you wanted to see what somebody else had shooted it.
But on YouTube, it only comes up if somebody has tagged it or like they've done an example showing this camera and tagged it that. Flickr tags it automatically because there's meta information in still camera images.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Like
okay.
every image on Flickr is tagged with whatever camera took it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's way better.
Yep.
Good tech tip. Yep. That's news you can use, people.
So I want to talk about nudity, public nudity, but before we get to that, we had another good comment. Rick Jones said of our 9/11 episode, "You guys navigate treacherous waters well for kicking the hornet's nest." And I said, "Thanks, I just finished listening myself, and I noticed more trepidatiousness in our voice than we ever have. We usually have none, but you could hear us in that episode hesitating to make damn sure we said exactly what we're trying to say in a way that was clear and not open to interpretation."
Right, right. Well, that's such a hot button issue. And the crazy warmongers, I don't know if I even want to go that far, but some people might get mad at us and say, hey, we're blaming America. But I think we wanted to make it very clear that we're not blaming America or Americans. We're blaming Washington, D.C. foreign policy, which I think it's completely
separate.
And
we're blaming all governments, really.
Right.
I mean, we make that clear. It's like when people say things like love it or leave it, it's like implying that there's another country that doesn't have, you know, the tiny dot, that doesn't have the oppression at the barrel of a gun.
Right.
There isn't any.
Right, right. We want the government to leave us alone.
And it's also the people who say love it or leave it, the right wingers who say that are like, they're the first people to complain when lefties talk about the social contract, but saying love it or leave it implies that you were born signing a social contract to love it or leave it.
Right, right. And as we've said before, a social contract is nonsense. You didn't sign it. And if you believe you can be party to a contract that you didn't assign or agree to, then in essence, you believe in slavery because that's what it was. People were born being owned by somebody else and they didn't have a say in that contract. So if you believe in a social contract, that's in essence what you're believing in, which is BS.
Somebody pointed out something funny too I read in an article was that before 9/11, when a politician said the word patriot, he usually meant a soldier. And now it means any nosy bureaucrat with a gun who's hired off a pizza box.
You know, honestly, I don't even know what it means anymore. It's almost one of those words that's lost any meaning for me. I mean, does it mean anything to you anymore?
I don't know. My stepson swore in to the army yesterday. He's been in the process of joining for a while, and I don't have any comments about that in particular. I like him. I don't like the idea of him being shot at.
Right.
I'm glad for him that he tried to do something that has been hard and he's been able to do it finally. I guess I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say a shout out to him. I kind of want to talk in a general way about, I was thinking the other day about how they don't have the draft anymore, but they kind of do. It's kind of like they wrecked the economy to the point where people feel they have to join. And that's not necessarily the case with him, but that's the new draft, you know?
No, it really is. And as a young person, an employed young person, I have a job, I have a college degree, but there's not a whole lot of opportunities out there. I mean, I'm doing a job I hate. I have to scratch people's crazy cat spots. I'm one of those media lackeys that is doing the scratching for the government. And I hate it and I despise it. And I'm being a hypocrite because I really should just leave. But at the same time, I did sign a contract and I am, you know, a libertarian and believe in contracts. So, I mean, there's ways I can get out of it and I'll work on that at some point. But even I have thoughts sometimes of maybe I just take the easy way out. Maybe I'll just join up the army or join up the police force and get my fat pension, because all day long I deal with cops who are making bank and driving nice cars and have fat retirement pensions. And even if they're the mucky mucks, all they do is spend all day in meetings and don't really do any real work. And I just think of how cushy that would be to be a government employee and get paid two or three times or four times more than I make now and have my future guaranteed. Me, Mr. Anarchist. I think about that sometimes because the private economy is so wrecked, and I think of starting my own business and I think of all the regulations. I think, oh, well, maybe I'll start this business, and then I think of all the fees I'll have to pay, or maybe I'll start that business, and I think of all the feds agencies that I'll have to be complying with and all the laws and rules, and it's just so overbearing, and they make it so easy to do something like try to get some type of government-tied job or some kind of corporate job, which is in essence, you know, one of the big boys, one of the corporatist players. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that is the new draft, is they've wrecked it so much to where you're either a corporate player with the big boys or you're a government employee.
We may eventually try to monetize the Freedom Fiends podcast once it gets really popular, but I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of digging maintaining our amateur status so we can compete in the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see what the future holds.
Nudity in San Francisco.
I mean, I like one of those words.
Nudity?
Yeah.
Well, I found out recently that it's now legal in San Francisco, and I think this is a good thing to end with. We're at the end here, and then we'll have our little two-minute interview with Yison. But nudity is legal in San Francisco, which I have no moral opposition to that, but it somehow makes me really glad I don't live in San Francisco anymore. Because one thing I've noticed is the people that like to be nudists are generally the last people you'd want to see naked.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, that would seem like an absurd amount of freedom to most people, but it's also, San Francisco is the place that bans everything else. You know, they ban pets and they ban smoking and they ban guns, but you can walk around naked. But there's even regulations with the nudity, and I'll link the YouTube video on this. You have to, if you sit on a public bench or even a bench at an outdoor restaurant, like anything out in public, in the open, if you sit on anything that's not in your house, you have to put down a little towel before you sit on it. And that's the law, which is kind of absurd because I've talked to people who are nudists, and that's basic, like every nudist knows you do that. That's considered, you know, polite, proper protocol. Okay.
Like wiping the thing down.
But they
at the
gym. Had to make a law.
They had to make, yeah.
So there wouldn't be ass juice on all the public benches.
So are people actually walking around San Francisco naked a lot now? Or have people decided
yes.
what they're going to do?
Yes. Huh. There's a YouTube video from a newscast about it, and you know, the naughty bits are blurred out, but people are walking around San Francisco naked.
I don't get that town, man. Shed some light. I mean, you live there. What is going through people's heads?
Have you ever noticed that people who are passive aggressive don't know they're passive aggressive? And when you tell them they're passive aggressive, they don't think so. And they're like, no, I'm just looking out for you by telling you what's wrong with you. That's kind of everybody in San Francisco.
Okay.
Not everybody, but most of them. It's kind of the mood there.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, they're the same people that would like fight to the death for gay marriage, but also fight to the death to keep you from owning a handgun in your home to protect yourself from. They're the same people who would march in the street for women's rights, but don't think a woman should be able to carry a gun to protect herself from rapists.
Right, right. So the idea is they know what's best and everybody should follow the same rules. But why does everybody think that the same things are right? I guess that's what gets me is how do they have such a consensus on what's wrong and what's right?
It's something they put in the water. That's my theory.
Okay.
And it's just kind of a lot of horizontal enforcement to the point of like, I'm on this Facebook page called Capitalism, which is an anarcho-capitalist kind of Ayn Randian fan site. It's got several thousand users on it. And they recently had a campaign that I thought was really funny. It was add your lefty friends to this group or invite them to this group.
Nice.
And I invited a couple of them and they were just furious. They were like, capitalism? What's wrong with you, Michael? You used to be cool. You know, and they're all people in San Francisco or California. And that's the kind of consensus there. And it's all horizontal enforcement of like anything that's socialist and for the common good and for the minority rights is good. And anything that is about ambition or thinking for yourself or acting for yourself is wrong, which is really ironic and fucked up to me because they don't really live that. You know, first of all, the smallest minority is the individual. So if you're for minority rights, you have to be for individual rights. And secondly, you know, like I said, they'll march for women's rights and they'll also march for a woman not to be able to carry a gun to keep from getting raped.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a caricature of Bizarro World. That's what that city is to me.
Okay. Well, okay. So in some sort of panarchy where people could live and choose whatever government they want, do you think San Francisco would exist?
Probably, but it wouldn't be funded as well.
Okay.
You know, there's a group there that I really like called the Pink Pistols, which is a
gay gun rights group. I think I've heard of them.
Gay gun rights group.
Yeah.
Have we talked about them?
I don't know if we've talked about them on the cast. I think me and you may have talked.
I'm going to link them. They kind of really upset people there.
Good.
Because, you know, it's that thing of like left versus right of if you choose one team, you have to be for everything on that team.
Yeah.
And if you choose the other team, you have to be for everything. I saw a really funny thing on 30 Rock recently. I started watching those all over again. And I'm not even going to talk about Netflix and how they're screwing up and how they're splitting it into two companies now and how their CEO sent out a letter the other day to all subscribers. And it was like, I got this email. I couldn't see who it was from until I clicked on it. And I could just see the first sentence of it. And it was to DJ because we signed up using my account, but her name. And I'm like, who is this man writing my wife and saying, dear Deborah, I'm terribly sorry. I messed up. And it was like, it was a spam letter from the CEO of Netflix that he sent to millions of people. But I'm like, who is writing this weepy letter to my wife? You know. But I was watching 30 Rock and there was one where Tracy Morgan, you know, the black guy on the show, is talking to the Republican guy played by Alec Baldwin, who's trying to get Tracy Morgan or Tracy Jordan. I forget what's his real name and what's his stage name on there. But
in the show, he's Tracy Jordan. In the real life, he's Tracy Morgan.
Okay. Okay, he's trying to get Tracy Jordan to be the new face of the Republican Party. Yeah. And Tracy's like, I can't do that, man. Black people hate Republicans. I'd lose all my fans. And he's like, come on, Tracy. You like paying lower taxes, right? And he's like, well, if I paid taxes, yeah, I would. And he's like, you're in favor of gun ownership, right? And he's like, go on.
Yeah.
And he decides he wants to be Republican and wants to help his boss out and do this commercial. And he does the commercial and halfway through it, he just stops and he says, it's not going to work. Black people are never going to vote Republican. And Alec Baldwin's like, I have an idea. And the next scene is the commercial they finally make. And it's Tracy Jordan saying, black people, don't vote. It's not cool. On voting day, just go to the pool hall and play three games of pool. It was something called like rock the not vote or something. Right. I thought that was brilliant.
So he ended up an anarchist then.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. That's a good note. That's a good note to end it on.
Yep. And anybody in San Francisco listening will call us racist for thinking that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell those fags to shove it.
Come. Tell those fags to shove it. All right, brother man. It's been good rapping with you.
Peace.
Worms. So this is Michael Dean. This is the interview section of the podcast. And we have a guest here. It's our number one fan. What's your name, sir?
Yaisen Akatel.
So, hi, DJ.
Hello.
Hello. You sound like Jane from Daria.
Yeah.
Hello. So you're passing through on your way from South Dakota to see your girl in Colorado and stopped in to go shooting and hanging out. So tell us how you became a freedom person.
First got into politics when I was learning to drive a truck with my uncle, and he would always listen to Rush Limbaugh. And
that was your gateway drug?
Yeah, that was my gateway into the evil drug of politics. Most of what the conservatives said makes sense to me, especially with whatnot about small government and guns. But I'm a curious guy, so I went and researched a whole bunch of liberal stuff too, like the Communist Manifesto and whatnot, and came across other type manifestos, like a anarchist manifesto, which led me to research all the different kinds of anarchy and watching others, more and more anarchist stuff, like Stefan Molyneux and Charlie Veitch and whatnot from YouTube and whatnot.
What's your favorite flavor of anarchy?
I don't know if I have a favorite one. I think if you can organize it right, they all can fit next together peacefully without having to conflict with each other.
What are some of the things that you've talked to me about that you think would work in your libertarian paradise?
Taxes are obviously bad. A lot of us can agree on that. And we have a lot of arguments of how would we do roads and whatnot like that. Each tribe should have its own local industry to build whatever it wants, so it's not dependent on somebody else. So if our tribe makes a guild to manufacture our cars or retrofit cars however we want them, you can combine the road, wink, wink, taxes, and car insurance in the same guild as you manufacture the cars. So say you're driving around and you get in a car accident, well, you just take your car back to the guild and have damages repaired at wholesale cost instead of having to pay a whole bunch of extra profit to other people remotely who really don't give a shit about what you're doing.
So basically you like the idea of small autonomous kind of tribes, right?
Yep.
How did you find Freedom Fiends?
I don't remember, actually.
You don't?
No. Of course, I don't remember yesterday. That's just how I live.
What would you like to see us talk more about on Freedom Fiends?
Well, being as it's called Freedom Fiends, I would like it that you guys talk about whatever the heck you guys want to talk about.
Excellent. Anything else you want to say to our listeners?
Keep listening, and if you listen to it, post it on Facebook so maybe other people will get close to it too.
Cool. Right on, man. Thanks.
Yep, yep.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that includes endorphins. Someone won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom Fiends, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.